This is one of the first songs that Zoe learned on the piano. What's the song again? How great is our God. Praise the Lord Jesus. How great is our God. Amen. Thank you, Zoe. Took her a little while for us to convince her to go ahead and start doing that. She did good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing on page 354 in the Spiral Book. I have a source. I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. Where there is healing, cleansing streams still flows with peace that only His redeemed can know. Well, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Sing that chorus one more time. Well, I claim the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Mark, you want to come help us take a prophet? Brother Mark passes that around. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing number page 139. Amen. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet Now the Comforter abides in me. Well, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides in me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul. Now the Comforter abides in me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world. They've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the Comforter abides in me. Sing that chorus again. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the Comforter abides in me. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to go ahead and have Brother Wade come. So let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as He comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see You.
Sing more in His Word every day of our life. Let's give our musicians a hand. They did a good job, man. Missing a few. We got all crowded. We got more people in the pulpit. We had our first service here, I think. The whole church in 1971. So, thank the Lord for each one. Use your talent for the glory of God and not for the world. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and get started on the Sixth Seal Part 6 today. We're going to talk about the tribulation just for a moment before we begin with the other part. We're anticipating a good time in the Philippines. Desire your prayers. Thank you for some of you for giving us a little extra to go with. We appreciate that. We're going to be 2 weeks out with no salary. And Brother Joel and I were talking the other day, and I'll just share this with you, because even if Brother Dale gives, or anybody gives, $1,000 to a preacher on the weekend, you say, well, that's a lot of money. I wish I made that much. By the time you pay your plane ticket, your food, putting your car at the airport, taxes, you whittle it down to about $600. Maybe $600. So it's not all on the surface, you know, that you're taking. So, because you do have to eat and you have to live, and they got a couple of motel rooms for me to stay in, but I told them I'd stay with the people. I like staying with the people. I've been to Jamaica 11 times, and I don't think we've ever stayed in a motel. Have we ever? We've never stayed in a motel. The whole 11 times I've been over there, I haven't. I know Brother Dale hadn't either. I like to stay with the people, as long as they're comfortable with that. You know, I mean, if they're not comfortable with that, that's okay. But as long as they're comfortable with it, I'd rather. I think Apostle Paul lived with the people. You know, when he went to a place, he stayed with the people, because you get to know the people better. You know, you get to know the people well, and you get to interact with them. And man, you know, it's like Brother Branham said, when he walked in that colored lady's home over there somewhere in Mississippi or Memphis, he said, I've been in castles. He said, but that woman, you talking about feeling the presence of God. So it really doesn't matter if it's a row house or a castle. It doesn't matter to me, as long as the people are Christians, and Christians are supposed to act different anyway, so they're not going to treat you wrong. But just pray for us. We're leaving Thursday, but we'll have a service Wednesday night to kind of give you a little idea what we're going to do while we're over there. We have a real tight itinerary. Last time I went, you know, we went for 3 weeks, and they gave me a couple of days in between to rest and relax, and not this time. We're going to hit the ground running, and I think there might be one day that we're not going to have anything to do. So we're going to be flying to to the island of Palawan for 3 days, and we're going to have a big ministers meeting there and bring all the ministers in. And it's best to do that way. You can't go over there 3 days on an island and try to preach at every place, but if you can bring all 30 or so preachers to one spot and have a ministers meeting, they can maybe catch a revelation between each other and all of us being there, and then they can go back and preach to their people, because it's great to have an American, it's great to have a foreigner, and it's great to have a foreigner here, but you know what? It's not like sitting here and listening every Sunday to Brother Dale and the ministers preaching the Word of God. You get more from that. It's really nice and exciting to have somebody new, but sometimes you say, well, what did they preach? And you say, well, I don't know. So I hope you don't say that with me and Brother Dale, but I'm not going to ask. Don't raise your hand. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 6, verse 12. Yeah, that's the tribulation. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads and get started. Let's ask the Lord to be with us today. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would come among us today in a way, Lord, of revelation, of comfort to the people. As we were meditating on this morning, that Satan has got us so full of all these fears and anxieties, and we're worried about this and worried about that. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to just worry. But Lord Jesus, you know, you said wherever you went, fear not. And today I say, fear not, little flock, because it's the Father's good pleasure for us to be in the exact place we're in right now. And let's not fear about what's going to happen. But Lord, let's look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. You started the work, and you're going to finish it. Father, we pray that you'd be with us, be with the sick among us, be with the ones that are traveling. Lord, it's raining really hard now outside. We pray that you'd just be with the ones on the highways. Take care of each one. Forgive us of our sins and bless us today, Lord, as we continue to open the Word, Lord, and see the great and wonderful, mighty things that you have for us. Lord, just be with the missionaries in the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. Pray that you just specially bless the ones, Lord, that are there in the Philippines as we're heading in that direction, Lord, that you would just be with them, Lord. Give them comfort. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid himself in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountain, and rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You may be seated. The Lord has blessings of reading the word. We're going to just kind of be abbreviated today, but I wanted us to see that this, on our first quote, and last Sunday, I hope you enjoyed what we were trying to say there, kind of piggybacking on what Brother Dale, and then this morning also about what he was saying on the feast days and all the jubilee and all those things, because it does have something. Remember there in, where is it, somewhere in the Bible in the New Testament, it said all these things were given for an example. Because the Old Testament is an example. We're not to live the life of Moses perfectly. We'd have to kill an Egyptian. We can't live the same life of Samson from one end to the other because he was a womanizer. See what I'm saying? But God used them for certain pieces of things that we can see, that we can use for examples to whom the end of the world has come upon. So it's for you and I to look back into the Old Testament and not live just like Moses. You want to live like Christ. Christ is the one that's inside you helping you live it out. The problem with Moses and some of those other ones in the Old Testament, Christ wasn't living inside of them. They were anointed by God to do the work they were supposed to do, but they were not sons and daughters of God. They are not sons and daughters of God and never will be sons and daughters of God. You and I are sons and daughters of God. Amen? So we have we do have a special appointment and anointing. We have a place that not many people have. We are able to, as we were talking in the Bible study last night, we have inside of us God. Inside of us is God Almighty in your flesh. And that makes you a son and daughter of God. It makes you God made manifest in another form called a bride. He has morphed into you to make you God Almighty in human flesh. That's what he said. Amen? That's your part. And these seals were not given down through the church ages. These things were sealed up until right now, until this day, until this hour, until this, when you're sitting here today, when we're sitting in service, we are under the anointing of that headstone message, the breaking of the seals, and not just to break them, because it was wonderful to break the seals. When Brother Branham was there working under one of the greatest anointing that ever worked under, of course nobody got it, but that was scripture being made manifest. Because the Bible in Revelation 5, the Lamb took the book and broke the seals. He had to break them, but he had to break them through somebody. He had to have a prophet on the earth to break the seals through. But now, is he the total only recipient of it? You and I are the recipient of it. You and I are the total recipient of it. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for himself. He died for us. Brother Branham come and brought a message for us. It wasn't for the people that were sitting there. And the fulfillment wasn't for him. It was for him to break the seal and then hand it to the people. For the angel in Revelation 5 to take that book and say, John, take this book and eat it. He didn't take it from a seventh angel's messenger's hand. He took it from the mighty angel's hand. Amen. Not saying Brother Brown didn't have anything to do with it, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall sound, the message will be made clear, and then John will know what to do when he gets the book. John knows to eat the book. John says, give me the book. And he took it from the hand of the mighty angel. He didn't take it from the seventh angel messenger. The seventh angel messenger was a messenger. He brought a message. And now you and I are the recipients of that message. All right, so we've got to try our best to live by that part. Not that we're all going to be prophets. We can't all be preachers. But we all have our part. And your part's just as important as anybody else's part. Amen. Brother Branham, why in the world did he just come here and just preach 1,100 and something sermons and then he left the scene and then nothing happened? God don't do that. God never says, I should have sent somebody else because he would have been more clear. No, he sent the exact person that should have sent. He said the exact words for us to hear so that somebody will get it. Amen? So he sent Brother Branham because of his character. He didn't protect Brother Branham. He protected the gift that was on Brother Branham. He protected that part because that gift was for me and you. That's what this is. This is my gift from God that was handed to me by a seventh angel messenger. He handed me this message, and I'm talking about the verbal part. The verbal part. Now, John, Top of the Bride, took the book from the mighty angel. But who was the mighty angel? The mighty angel come down through Brother Branham and said, here, this is for you. This is your book. It's not my book. It's your book. Amen? Because it was a book of you. It's not... It's a book of you. You're in the book. Without the names in this book, it's just A, ands, and D's, and buts. Amen? You read this Bible, it take all the names out, and you got nothing. It's just gibberish. Really, it is. It's just A, ands, and D's, and buts, and went here. Take a name out and try to read that. You can't take anything compared to a person. If you just read, it's hard to understand, but when you put a person in there, that's what you and I need to understand. We need to understand that you are the person that God's talking about. He's talking about you and to you in this Bible right here. And then we come up here to the end time and you say, well, we're nothing. No, we are it. This is it. This is, I was thinking about that this weekend. And I'm going to probably use it some over in the Philippines because like we always said it, I don't want you to get caught in when I say who's going to take a rapture, you say I am. It's not you, the person you. It's you, the person you've become. Right. You've become God made manifest in another form. Call the bride. He said that, and he's the one that's going to take a rapture. Right. But it's through you. You're going. Right. If he's inside of you, then who's going to take a rapture? I am. All right? So you go to the I am, and I think I'm going to maybe use that a little bit, maybe a little bit. It's just the way the Lord's been leading. I don't know if it's too strong for him or what, but it shouldn't be. Somebody's going to have to say, I come from God. I'm going back to God. Right. Amen. We were talking about this morning down in Sunday school class. You know, Jesus stood there and he said, I came from a certain place and here I am. Yes. Now I'm going back to that certain place because I'm not going to be the Son of Man through the church ages anymore. I'm going back to God. Right. I'm going to come in the form of the Holy Ghost through seven church ages. But for a little while, I got to come back and gather the harvest. The Son of Man's the sower of the seed. The Son of Man sends the reapers. But the Son of Man's standing there when the harvest is brought forth. Boaz, a type of Christ, he was what? He was a man. He was a man that collected the harvest. And that's what's got to do. In the end time, the Son of Man's got to come back and collect the harvest. The human flesh. All of us. The Son of Man ministry. Are the headship of the word, which the headship are these seals that we're talking about. If you want to know what headship, the headship that was lost down through the church ages, it's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about what was left off through all the other church ages. Tonight and today, we're talking about exactly what God had in his mind. He saw it and he saw a people there that would take it. So that's just got to be me and you. Okay? But there's a place that we're not going to go to. We're not going to go through this to what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the tribulation period because the sixth seal opens for the tribulation period. All right? And you and I are not included. I was looking up quotes the other day because remember, most of your church people, church denomination, believe you're going to go through some form of tribulation, whether it be 3.5 years minor, 3.5 years major. You're going to go through 7 years of tribulation. They get that out of the Bible without Revelation. Without revelation. But now with revelation, we know that even Brother Branham, the very analogy he used was that Joseph married a Gentile And then when he told his brethren, which are the Jews, when he told them who he was, he had already dismissed his Gentile bride into the palace. And that's always been in the Bible, but nobody but Brother Branham was able to pull that out and say, hey, you don't go through any tribulation. There's no tribulation for the bride. I told you, the greatest revelation, if I never get another one, I know one thing for sure, if I'm born again today, I will not stand in the tribulation wrath of God. Right. Amen. I'm going in rapture. Right. Amen. Then you should be happy about that too. Right. Because around the world, the denominations, you set them down and say, all right, we're going to go through the tribulation. Yeah, we might go through the tribulation. We got a lot of cleansing to do. No. You accept what God's already done. Christ went to tribulation for us when he died on the cross. I didn't bring the quote with me, but Brother Branham was using it in the sixth seal of how when Jesus died, what happened? Earthquake. Sun went down. All these things happened almost parallel what happened to the sixth seal. He said, see there, there's God delivering his son. And all these things happen. Moses, when God delivered his children out of Israel, that's what happened. All these things to nature. And then he said, look here, now you've got 144,000 that's getting ready to be delivered. And the same thing's going on. But now what happens to me and you? All that was natural for Jesus. That was natural for Moses in Egypt. That's going to be natural for 144,000. You and I are going to get it spiritually. Our tribulation is right now. Thank God. Our tribulation is now. We get a spiritual tribulation. Not a natural, physical tribulation. Oh, sure, we might. What are y'all doing sitting up here? Man. Okay. Good to see Tony and Esther with us today. On the fourth row. I looked over there, I didn't see him. But Sister Esther said she was asking about being physically bereft. We were talking about that last night in the Bible study. Well, you have to look up that word bereft, which is a derivative of bereaved. But bereft means to be something taken away from you in other words, air conditioning, heating. Being physically bereft, the prophet said, would mean that comforts going to be taken away from us that we have now that we won't have then. That's being physically bereft. Now, I don't know, I'm not going to say this just thus saith nobody but me. I don't think we're going to be like the martyrs and be drug apart and... Because there's laws and courts and things that as horrible as the court system is, you can at least plead your case. Here in the United States, you can plead your case. Over there in the Dark Ages, they just said, oh, you're a Christian, you know, put an oxen on one end of him and an oxen on the other end and pull him apart. You know, they didn't care. They were the judge, jury, and executioner. But with being physically bereft doesn't mean, I don't think, like you said, we're not going to be putting stocks. But I think we might have to miss a meal. There might be things that we can't get together is what we were talking about last night. We might not be able to get together. That's why that it's important to pack the word in now. Where you don't have to say, wait a minute, you pray to Brother Dale, the praise to Brother Brown, the praise to God to get you something. Now that's Catholic. That's what they get. That's their praying to somebody for praying to somebody to get something. You pray to God, and God answers your prayer. Amen. Bible says, you say to this mountain, be removed. And let me be carnal. You say to this pork chop, land on my plate. Amen? Amen? Yeah, pork chop ain't bad, is it? I could have said just a piece of bread. But you know what, though? That's what's going to happen. But you got to come to a place that God can work in your life. Because power without character is satanic. Power, that kind of power, if you had that kind of power, what would you do if you weren't really a true, solid, born-again believer? There's a lot of things you could do that were wrong. And God would have to honor it because he did with Elisha. Elisha was a prophet of God. Somebody made him ill. And he called two she-bears to eat the food. Now, that wasn't God, and that didn't have anything to do with God, but God honored what the prophet said. All right, so he's going to honor what you say, but power with character is fit to have that pork chop if you need it, or have that piece of bread if you need it, or have that, Brother Luis, like over in, look at that, all around the world, the brother needed oil in his car. You say, oh, that's just so simple. No, that's God. Donnie will tell you, there is no known case in the United States and around the world that a car's been out of oil and all of a sudden you put the dipstick back in and it's full. Would you think? Even if it was sitting way on the side, you could say, well, it's sitting way over here and it couldn't get, no, some of it would get to the dipstick, but for it to be out and then all of a sudden be full, Brother Harris needed oil, needed gas one time, and you remember he ran out of gas and he prayed that thing, it filled it up with gas. Well, who did? Texaco? No. Did Haviland come by? The Haviland man come by and put oil in that car? No, God Almighty sent an angel by with a can of oil. Poured that thing in there. And it was done. And it wasn't just a little. He knew how many quarts to bring. He knew what model that car, what truck was. So he brought 5 quarts of oil. But you see what I'm talking about? That's power with character, though. It's to not ask for everything in the world, but ask for that what you need of. And that's what's going to happen to you and I. I believe as we continue on, I don't think we're going to be, like I said, now when the tribulation, when this tribulation starts, they're going to be hunted down like dogs. Brother Brown said they'll be hunted and killed for what they believe, because what's going to happen is you and I are still living under the Holy Ghost. But you got to remember, when we leave this place, that's not just a minor tribulation. That's the wrath of God that's going to be poured out. It'll be a godless nation, a godless group of people, and almost a godless world except for the 144,000 and the foolish virgin that are trying to, you know, write the thing back up again, but they're the ones that's going to get killed. Because why? Because they're under the tribulation. They will have to go through that cleansing. But when you and I get born again, thank God Almighty in heaven, you don't have to go through a tribulation. We're going through it now. We're going through it now. You say, well, yeah, we're going through it now. We got $50,000 cars and $200,000 houses. We're going through some real bad. No, what's going on between your head is your battleground. Satan does not care how big your car is or how little your car is, but if he can get in your mind, he has won the battle. So there's the problem, is right here. So that's so what we got to do? We got to feed it the word so that it'll drive that out. Because look, if you're born again, you're not going to be driving unclean spirits out of your soul. That's a clean spirit. That's the Holy Ghost inside. But that second person, that second realm is what we're dealing with, the spirit realm, the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, where all that debt, where the demons just travel back and forth. And that's your tribulation. I told him, I said, look, when we get a body change, you're not going to have to worry about praying. Praying's over. Right. You're not going to worry about redemption. Redemption's over for you, not for the world now, but for you, redemption's over. Right. We're not going to go to heaven and be praying for people. Right. We do it now. Fervently pray for people. Pray, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but if you're not going to need it in the future home, it'll be done away with. And I am not going to get to where we're supposed to get. Now, let's get back. Aaron's sitting back there. Bless his heart. I went on one of his rabbit trails. Hallelujah, he said. So now let's go to the first quote. I'm just glad that I don't have to go through the tribulation, because let me say one more time. You talk to Methodists, Baptists, and all the different ones. They're looking for a tribulation to happen in their life and then get saved. Now, that's not God. The devil's telling them that. But we know once we're born again, the tribulation just slides away. That's why Brother Branham was talking about on the when he was wanting to preach on the seven trumpets. Seven trumpets are not to us. The seven trumpets are to Israel, which are the woes and the vials and the plagues. You and I don't see these plagues. You and I don't see the hairy men and the scorpions and all that. We don't see that. We're gone. We're in another dimension. Waiting on God to clean this thing off so that a new earth can come forth and we can come and live on it. Amen? So the sixth seal is the tribulation period. So as soon as we leave this place, that's what takes place. The bride's gone. There's no living creatures, nothing there to say. God's not dealing with the church no more. It's gone. He's dealing with Israel. This is the other side. This is when Israel received the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelation 11. Remember, Israel's a nation, God's servant nation. And when Israel is brought in, it'll be a national affair. Israel, the kingdom ages, where David, the son of David, sits on the throne. So that's what we've been talking about. Even when we jump through the tribulation period over into the millennium, that's still not to us. We're just there on a honeymoon. That's to a promise that David is going to sit on the throne, and there's going to be 12 tribes of Israel around it. We read last night in Ezekiel 40 and through 48 and all through there. The millennial temple has nothing to do with us. We don't need a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God. Amen. You're the anointing to the temple they're going to build in the millennium, and you and I are going to live there. Okay, so even in the millennium, we really don't have to do anything. Once we take a body change and step over another dimension, brothers and sisters, it's over. Glory. It's over for us. The struggling should now start being over now.
Glory.
You temporarily have a body change working right now inside of you. That inside man is 20 years old, encased by whatever age you are. Okay, that's a paradox. But once that inside man takes over and you let him take over, then everything's going to be done. Everything's going to be finished. Amen? You say, well, it's too simple. Well, that's just the way it is. It's not anything that we don't have to go through a tribulation. We don't have to listen to two prophets. We don't have to be hunted down like dogs. We don't have to be worried about a nuclear bomb falling on us. We're not going to worry about an earthquake where it swallows up everybody. We're not going to have to worry about that. Right. See, to me, that worry is good enough right now for me just to not worry about that.
Right.
Sure, then you can worry about your kids getting in before the door shuts, and you worry about this. That's okay. But do not worry about you. If you're sealed in, now you need to worry about it if you're not. But if you have the new birth, you're sealed in till the day of your redemption. Amen? Because see, look, even in these seven seals, we must see, and we'll get to this when we get back from the Philippines. We'll start with, this is the seal part. But if Israel gets, is born again into the tribulation, or, the 144,000, receive the new birth, and that tribulation bursts them, and then you've got Jesus with his tribulation, natural, Moses with his. Mine and yours has to be a spiritual revelation. It has to be a spiritual tribulation where all nature, our nature, listen, our nature is when we're born, we're dead. Everybody in this building was born the exact same way, came from the exact same place by the exact same act. And we're going to a place called a grave if we don't take a body change.
Right.
So that's your nature. That's the nature we're all built with. As we get, as the young ones, like you got two nice looking, show the camera, to two nice looking brothers right here. Yeah, there you go. Two good. And you know what? They don't get up in the morning and go, I'm dying. But when you move over to this side of the church, in this row, when you move over here, though, Brother Dale and Brother Donnie have a little bit different thought process than these two guys do, especially early in the morning. I mean, listen, you remember when you could sleep on concrete at this age? Concrete. Never move. And get up and go, man, I feel good. Let's go. Do it at about 59. Do it at their age. It'd take a crane with a moving crew to get them up off concrete. But they just get up and go. But see, so the mentality of that's why I keep telling Sister Cletus, she's the oldest one in the building. She's older in the building. She's the oldest one in the building. She is closer to her 20-year-old than we are. If you start thinking that way, what is that? That's a total disruption of the nature that you've been given. Because the nature you've been given is, I'm going to live, I'm going to work, I'm going to have kids, I'm going to die. And that's probably about 100% correct all over the world. There's no exception to that. Right? But we've got to come to a sixth seal purging where that sanctification comes and it tells us that nature is not going to happen. That nature has to be disrupted to where I'm not going toward a grave. I'm going toward a change. Amen? So that's what we're heading toward. But we got to get this natural part out of the way. All right, let's go to number two. For we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. It's the judgment seal, exactly what it is. Now see, we've had the Antichrist rise, seen the church go, now it's finished, goes up. Then we see the martyrs of the Jews back there under the altar. Here's the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people, where out of this tribulation judgment will come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. I'll prove that they're Jews and not Gentiles. We know that. And have nothing to do with the bride, nothing at all. For the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. So see, we get, everybody has to come to a judgment. Everybody. You say, well, you just said we were judged through Christ, so he had to come to a judgment. But even we have a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. We have the little things that we have to deal with because that fallen nature is so bad. But when you take a body change, folks, brothers, sisters, look at me. When you take a body change, who can condemn me of sin?
Right.
Who can convince me of sin?
Right.
I don't have no sin. You should believe that now. We have sins, but we don't have the sin that's going to take us to hell. Amen? But even those sins will be done away with once we get a glorified body. I mean, what else are we doing? Sure, we may have to pass through a little bit of judgment if we wronged our brother or something, but nothing compared to what's happening on this earth.
Right.
Nothing compared. There will be nothing. Think of the destruction and chaos that's going to happen when we're out of here. Amen? So now watch. Even Isaiah 13, verse 6. Isaiah says, "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt." That's the sixth seal. "And they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate." Sixth seal deals with the land, nature, land desolate, "and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations therefore shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Now that's, we just read the sixth seal. Sixth seal, verse 13, "Stars of heaven fell unto earth, even as the fig tree casts its untimely fruits. The heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together." Same thing here in Isaiah. Because remember, Isaiah is a total commentary of the Bible. All right? "For the stars of heaven and constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened and going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Where's that right here? Verse 15. "And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne." That arrogant group of people, God's going to bring them down. But this is all during the tribulation period. All right, now let's look at number three. See there just exactly, Isaiah saw the same thing that Jesus spoke of, that the seventh seal reveals when he's cleansing the land with tribulation. That's the tribulation period, this sixth seal. Did you see what I just read? Anybody catch that? Isaiah saw the same thing that Jesus spoke of, that the seventh seal reveals. He didn't say it was the seventh seal. He said what the seventh seal reveals. There's your key. The seventh seal reveals every seal. Without the seventh seal, you don't get any of the seal. When he's cleansing the land with tribulation, that's the tribulation period, this sixth seal. Yes, he was a prophet, and the word of God was made known to him. All right, so now let's read number four. Because I'm going to bring in sin just for information. Because he's talking about the remnant. Now remember, as his analogy was, you and I are not the remnant. You and I are the piece of cloth. Amen. You and I are the suit or whatever God's made, you and I are that. But there is, when you cut out the goods, there's a remnant, there's pieces left over, but it's the same garment.
Amen.
It's just not used for what it's used for. Alright? That's the same thing with the foolish virgin, because remember, the foolish virgin is going to be given eternal life for what they believe and what they see and what they profess. They're going to be given eternal life. You and I just accept that before all this, and it precedes any of this. Alright? So now, what is a remnant? The piece that's cut left same kind of goods. Is that right? You go cut your dress out of calico and you spread out a big piece of calico and you cut it out. It's your business where you lay the pattern. In other words, he's explaining where God puts a pattern, it's his business. It's God's business where he lays the pattern. He cuts her right out. Is that right? And now this rest of this calico left here is just as good a calico as the dress. It's right, but it's God's election. God elects his church. God predestinates his church. God foreordained that.
Amen.
Ordains his church. And he takes that church out and the remnant is left to go through the tribulation period.
Right?
Now look, but remember this. That remnant that's going to be foolish virgin is not the 144,000. These are brothers and sisters that have been blinded by false shepherds. Brother Branham said in one place, it was, I don't know if I got it in that one, but he said it's the people we couldn't get to. He was shaming us, really, is what he was doing. He said it's the people we're not getting to. Okay? And that's where many Bible scholars today get mixed up, thinking that the bride's over yonder in the tribulation. A fella said to me, said, I couldn't tell you, Brother Branham, said, I seen the bride up in heaven, the dragon spurting water out of his mouth to make war with the bride, and the 144,000, which is the bride standing on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Brother Brown said, no! You got it all mixed up. The bride's in heaven.
Right.
Now let me stop right here. That's where Brother Branham brings the quote in late before this, where the bride leaves on Revelations 4:1, and doesn't come back to Revelations 19. See, it takes care of all of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all those chapters of tribulation time. It's not to us. We go up in 4:1. After these things, the door was opened in heaven. It says, come up hither. We go up into that open door, but we get the spiritual part of every bit of it. Amen? So I said, anything you talk about that tribulation, anything we read about tribulation, you can put it in your life that you've either went through or you're going through. Amen? Earthquakes. You ever have an earthquake in your house? Your kids never got mad at you? Call your little kid a tornado? Why? Hello? Cyclone? Hurricane? Where's Deanna? And, oh, see what I mean? Deanna's in trouble. She's outside. But that's the part you're going through now. We're going through tribulation now. We don't have to go through any of this natural stuff. And the remnant of the woman's seed, the bride is in heaven, and the remnant of the woman's seed, not her, not the pattern, the remnant was there. And the persecution, the Roman Empire, when Catholicism will consolidate and they'll unite their power together with the great church. It's like Brother Joe Canada was talking about last night. Brother Ram told us over and over again, do not worry about communism and all these other isms. He said, you worry about Romanism.
Right.
Romanism, the purple curtain is what's going to come down against us. Is that? That's the communism. That's not going to bother us.
Right.
But it's what bothers you most? Think about it in your brain. What bothers you most? Is it natural things or spiritual things? If you're born again, spiritual things, because you always got something in your head that's pounding for and against, and what is this and what is that, and right? See there? You say, oh no, it's bills. And come on, people, please. Bills just means you can't handle your finances. Or the non-payment of them. But spiritual things is what's going to either follow with you, or you're going to get rid of them. What drives you crazy? Brother Branham, many times, he never hardly ever said anything about finances. He would always say, you've got a spiritual problem. Even when the women were going through menopause and all these things, he said, you got a spiritual problem. You got things that make you nervous. You got things that make, well, where is that? That's on the inside. That's not over here, over here, over here, over here. It's right here. It's inside. We're carrying these things with us. We need to get rid of them. Because you know what? It's just going to be a minute detail of what they're going to go through naturally when we leave here. Amen? So let's go to quote number 5, and then we're going to read Revelation, and then we'll be finished. This is on the seventh seal now. 1963. Now we're at the end of the eagle. Let me come over here. I'm sorry, Joseph. Now we're at the end of the eagle, the revelation to be revealed, the whole thing. Now compare this with Revelations, the 10th chapter, verse 1 through 7. We'll see here in this revelation here, 10, 1 through 7, that in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel's message was to finish up all the mysteries of God. Now we find out, now watch this, now we find out also in that is, now we find out also in this that the sixth seal now being opened, it was for a threefold purpose. All right, I'm going to cover this, and then we'll cover back our threefold purpose when I come back from the Philippines, because there's a threefold purpose of the sixth seal. There's a threefold purpose of the seventh seal. All right, everybody okay with that? Say amen, wake up! Amen. Thank you. Now, here was the purpose. The first thing, now the sixth seal is judgment seal, tribulation seal, and what's happening? There's judgment being passed on a group of people and the earth, right? There's three folds to this. Now, here was the purpose. The first thing was that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. That was a revelation under the sixth seal. Because it's a revelation under the seventh seal that you and I are already in heaven. It was a revelation in the first seal that we were heading that way. But look, after the fourth seal, we're gone. Fourth seal, we're gone. There's nothing mentioned of us. We're not even here. All right? The first thing was that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7, between the 6th and 7th chapter here, that she had been purged and she had been given her robes. Now she's not the bride. But it's the church. The pure people that don't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message, or in some way they were blinded by these false prophets and they didn't get a chance. And yet they're really sincere in heart. It's like we were talking about last night. Listen, God's the only one that knows your heart. We were talking about the message to the 144,000 last night. It's only going to be, the fifth seal Jew. The fifth seal Jew is not going to be some bank robbing, whoremongering Jew. No, it's going to be somebody that God knows their heart. God knew David's heart. God knew the inside of David and what he would do if he had the Holy Ghost and what he'd do if he wouldn't. Same way with the fifth seal Jew. It's not going to be every scoundrel that's a Jew. It's going to be somebody that lives as close to Jewry that they can, like the pure Orthodox Jew, the ones that live it, that really try. Those are the ones that's going to be the fifth seal Jew. Those are the ones he blinded. He didn't blind Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. Everybody got that? So it's not everybody is not going to be included in the fifth seal. God's not going to just let you think, well, that's grace. Yeah, it is grace. But it's grace to those that God knew that would want it. Is that okay? Amen? Because God knows the heart. The same way with this. He knows that fifth. Amen. He knows that foolish virgin's heart. That if somebody would have got to that person and preached him the right message, he or she would have got born again. All right? Yes, they were sincere in heart, and God knows their heart, and here they're purged during this time. Right. You notice that another purging time, now this is the second fold. Right. That's for Israel when she gathers. That's the second fold. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Amen. Out of the millions that gather there, there'll be a select 144,000, and they will be purged also. Remember, they got to be killed. God's purging Israel. Notice, here's number 3. Notice, here the whole earth is to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium.
Right.
All right, the millennium's coming up, and see, everything that's got any filth on it is to be purged during the sixth seal.
Right.
So now, when I get back, we're going to be heading toward your purging.
Right.
You're going through a sixth seal purging, whether you like it or not.
Right.
You're going to go through it because you're a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
But you're not going through the natural.
Right.
Amen. You're not going through the natural.
Right.
All right, let's read Revelation 20, and then we'll be done. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. Now this is coming up. I'm moving forward just a little bit here. Because when I see thrones, that's you and me. That's going toward the white throne judgment. That's what that is. And I saw thrones. And they sat upon them, they, and judgment was given unto them. Who is going to judge the earth? The saints will judge the earth. So it's me and you, all right? And I saw the souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Those are the only ones that's going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That kind of people. Because watch. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. See, the foolish virgin that's going to be killed in the tribulation period are not going to come up. There's no resurrection for them to come up in except the second resurrection. They missed the first one. So they got to come up in the second resurrection. So as they die, they've got to stay, not dead, but they got to stay in another dimension until the end of the 1,000 years for their purification. All right? And shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, whether in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We know that's not eternity. That's going to be for a length of time and then they're going to go away. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Here's where I'm going to stop here. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's not us. That's not us. That's the people that just came up in the second resurrection. That's the foolish virgin. That's the cup of water in my name. That's the ones given eternal life for being good to you. Because watch, I am not ever going to be judged. Now that I'm born again, you'll never be judged by your own works.
Right.
You were judged by what Christ did. This is not. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. Not his works. According to their works. Why? Because they had to go through a tribulation period. They had to be written in the book that they gave their life for the gospel that they held, the gospel they knew, right? But not you and I. You and I are up there at the first part where it says, I saw thrones. That's us. That's us sitting at the white throne judgment. Judging the whole world. But this sixth seal comes up and brings a threefold manner. Number one, foolish virgin. Got to go through tribulation to give their life for the gospel that they hold. The second fold is Israel. 144,000 is going to come up out of that tribulation and be given eternal life. The third fold is going to be this earth. It's going to be purged so that, because remember, Christ doesn't come back till the millennium. You and I don't come back till the millennium. I mean, we only got glorified body around here just for a little while. Then we go over into another dimension to the marriage supper, and then we come back. Israel, or the whoever you want to say, the 144,000, they're building the temple and all these things, and you and I come into the millennium on a not a redeemed entire earth. Remember, Brother Branham, I want to tell you this one thing. Read in the future home. The millennium and the future home, some things you can intertwine. But then when you come to the future home, it being eternal and the millennium being in time, it's totally separate. There will be things in the millennium that will be in the future home, but there will be things that happen in the millennium that won't ever happen in the future home. Because during the millennium, you're still in that seventh day of time. Amen? You're still in that 7 sevens is 49. You're still in that loop. Now, we're not. We already got our jubilee. It's what Brother Dale's trying. We're in our jubilee now. We've already accepted the 50. If you've went to Pentecost, you have accepted your 50th jubilee. You're just waiting for your land to go free. Amen? Everything else is gone free. You're just waiting on the land to go free. Amen? But the earth is still going through the 7 sevens is 49. Remember, there's no way Jesus could raise on Saturday. Because he didn't raise in a church age. He didn't raise in the Old Testament. He raised on the eighth day, which is the first day of the week. He raised out of the church ages. He raised out of the Old Testament. He raised out of the 7 sevens is 49. How in the world can you put God in a 49? He's a 50. He's a eighth day. So that's why he had to raise on the first day of the week. He had to raise out of that seventh day. Couldn't raise on the seventh day. He had to raise on the eighth day, which is being the first day of the week. And when you get born again, guess what? That jubilee comes to you. If Christ is in that jubilee, he is the jubilee, but he stepped into the jubilee. When he come out of that tomb, he stepped right into the jubilee. Because his land has been resting, waiting on us for 2,000 years. Jesus didn't have no heartaches and trials when he stepped out of the tomb. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I don't have to sleep anymore. I don't have to eat unless I want to. I don't need a wall. I don't even need a door. I'm not going to ever be asleep on a boat again. I'm never going to have to be put on a cross and have nails put in my hand. I'm never going to have to thirst. I'm done. He was in the eighth day. He had stepped out of that tomb right straight into eternity. You did the same thing the day you accepted the new birth in your soul. You entered into that eighth day. You were raised. He was the first fruit of the resurrection. Because you and I are what? We're already raised sitting in heavenly places. We just ain't believed it yet. But you got to believe it. And with this, I believe with the sixth seal purging, I believe you can. Because when it purges everything, look, when it purges everything, who steps on the scene? God steps on the scene when everything's purged. Remember, he can't step down here in a physical form until the millennium. But that is when? That's the purging of the me and you here. Me and you get purged under the sixth seal spiritual purging. But the natural threefold purging of the sixth seal is the foolish virgin, 144,000, and the earth. Once those three things are done, then who steps out? Christ. When you get finished with justification and sanctification and baptism of the Holy Ghost, who steps on the scene? Christ. Christ in human flesh, in a group called a bride. It's been given to me and you. We just got to do it. Amen? You love the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. No, we need that. No, just leave it there. If anybody has a need, we're going to sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart just one time. And if you have a need, then we'll sit back down and finish what we're going to finish. It won't take but about 30 minutes. Open the...